Welcome. Today we're diving into a topic that, well, many people have probably heard of, but maybe don't fully understand Trojan enteric bursitis. We'll break it down in a way that's easy to follow, whether you're a patient or maybe just someone curious to learn more.
Yeah, definitely.
The information shared in this deep dive comes from the HIP education section of orthoeducation.com. That's a free, high-quality, peer-reviewed resource. It's really designed to help patients better understand musculoskeletal
A
conditions.
great resource.
And just a reminder, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. So if you're dealing with a musculoskeletal problem or have concerns about your health, please be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.
Absolutely. And our goal today really is to demystify Trojan enteric bursitis. Get past just the name.
Right.
We want to give you a solid grasp of what this common condition is all about, focusing on the practical stuff that helps you feel informed.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We're talking about inflammation of a bursa. Now, I've heard the term, but what exactly is a bursa and why this one in the hip?
Okay, good question. So think of a bursa as this really thin, fluid-filled sac. It's like a tiny built-in cushion.
Okay.
Its main job is to sit between bone and soft tissues,
Yeah.
like muscles or tendons, and basically cut down on friction when things move.
Yeah.
It helps everything glide smoothly.
Makes sense.
Now, the trochanteric bursa specifically, its location is key. It lies right over the greater trochanter of the femur. That's the prominent bony bump you can feel on the outside of your hip.
Got it.
And critically, it's sandwiched between that bone and a really thick band of tissue called the iliotibial band, or IT band.
Ah, the IT band. I've heard of that.
Right, it runs on the outside of your thigh. So when you bend and straighten your hip, that IT band slides back and forth over the bursa.
Okay.
And that's where the problem often starts. If that IT band gets tight, it creates more friction as it rubs over the bursa.
Like rubbing a rope over the same spot again and again.
Exactly. That constant rubbing irritates the bursa, and then you get inflammation. That's trochanteric bursitis in a nutshell.
So it's really about that specific location and the mechanics, the friction. Who tends to get this? Is it certain groups or activities?
Yeah, it's actually pretty common. We do see it more often in females, particularly middle-aged and older women.
Okay.
But it's definitely not just them. Active people, athletes think, runners, cyclists, anyone doing repetitive hip stuff, they can get it too.
So repetitive motion is a big factor.
Huge factor. Things like running, lots of stair climbing, cycling, even just standing for really long periods, it all adds up.
Right.
It's kind of interesting how these everyday movements can, over time, lead to this quite painful inflammation. And you can also get it from an acute injury, like a direct fall onto the side of your hip.
Ah, so a direct blow can trigger it too.
Yep, that can certainly bring it on suddenly.
Okay, so it could be chronic or acute. If someone has that pain on the side of their hip, what are the sort of telltale signs? How does it usually feel? What should you look for?
Well, the classic symptom is definitely pain on the outside of the hip, right over that bony part, the greater trochanter.
Okay.
The pain itself can vary. Sometimes it's sharp, other times it's more of a dull, nagging ache, and occasionally it might feel like it travels down the outside of the thigh a bit, usually not past the knee, though.
Gotcha. Are there things that make it worse?
Yes, and this is often key for diagnosis. It's typically worse at night.
At night, okay.
And logically, it hurts more if you lie directly on the affected hip. Makes sense, right? Direct pressure.
Yeah, that seems obvious.
But here's the slightly less intuitive part. It can also feel worse when you lie on the unaffected side.
Really? How does that work?
Well, when you lie on the good side, the painful hip on top tends to sort of drop slightly, which increases the stretch or tension on that IT band over the inflamed bursa.
Ah, okay. So it pulls on that tight band, creating more friction again.
Exactly. It increases that rubbing effect. And then, of
Yeah.
course, activities like walking, running, stairs, things that involve moving the hip, they tend to aggravate it too.
That point about lying on the unaffected side is really insightful. It really brings home the role of that IT band.
It does. It's a common finding.
So if someone comes in with these symptoms, how do you figure out if it's definitely trochanteric bursitis? What's the diagnostic process, like the exam and any imaging?
Diagnosis is mostly based on the physical exam. There aren't a ton of super specific findings, but the exam is really important to rule out other things that could be causing similar hip pain.
Right, rule out the other possibilities.
Exactly. The most consistent finding is tenderness when the doctor or therapist presses directly on that greater trochanter.
Okay.
We might also ask you to move your hip in ways that stretch the IT band to see if that reproduces the pain. You might notice some swelling, but honestly, the burst is pretty deep under skin and muscle, so visible swelling isn't that common.
Got it. So the hands-on exam is key. What about imaging, like x-rays or MRIs? Do they show it?
Good question about imaging. So x-rays, they're generally not the best tool for diagnosing bursitis itself.
Why is that?
Because the bursa is soft tissue, and x-rays mainly show bone.
Ah, okay.
But they're still really useful. We often get them to rule out other problems, like a fracture or arthritis in the hip joint, which can sometimes cause pain in a similar area. Occasionally, an x-ray might show little bone spur on the trochanter, which could be irritating the bursa.
Okay, so x-rays are more for excluding other things. What about MRI?
MRI is much better for soft tissues. It can clearly show inflammation in and around the bursa, which would strongly suggest trochanteric bursitis.
So that sounds definitive.
It can be very helpful, yes. But MRIs are expensive and often not needed for the initial diagnosis. We usually reserve them for cases that are more severe or aren't getting better with standard treatment, or if we need to check for other soft tissue issues like tendon tears.
Okay, so not the first step usually. Is there anything else? Ultrasound maybe?
Yes. Ultrasound's another good option. It's become more common. It can visualize a swollen bursa pretty well. And a big advantage of ultrasound is that it can be used to guide injections very precisely right into the bursa if that's part of the plan. Ensures the medicine gets to the exact spot.
That's clever, using it for guidance too. That gives a really clear picture of the diagnostic side.
We have been talking about trochanteric bursitis based on information from the hip education section of the free and peer-reviewed patient education website, OrthoEducation, at www.orthoeducation.com.
Great resource.
Okay.
So now the important part, treatment. What can actually be done? You mentioned earlier it's often non-operative, which sounds like good news.
It really is good news. The vast, vast majority of people get better without surgery. So non-operative treatment is definitely the first line.
What does that involve, typically?
It usually starts pretty simply. Activity modification, basically figuring out what movements or activities make it hurt, and, well, avoiding them for a while.
Makes sense. Stop irritating it.
Exactly. Then there are medications. Over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, NSAIDs, like ibuprofen or naproxen, can help with pain and inflammation. For quicker, more targeted relief, a steroid injection directly into the bursa can be really effective.
Right.
We often mix it with a local anesthetic. It calms down that inflammation significantly and can break the pain cycle.
Yeah, the injection. And what about physical therapy? You mentioned the IT band tightness.
Yes, physical therapy or even just consistent at-home stretching is crucial. This is often the key to long-term success.
Now, so?
Because the focus is on improving the flexibility of that IT band.
Yeah.
Remember how the tightness causes friction?
Yeah.
So by stretching and loosening the IT band and surrounding muscles, you reduce that friction on the bursa. Less friction means less irritation, less inflammation, and ultimately less pain. It's about tackling the underlying mechanical issue.
Addressing the root cause, not just the symptom. I like that.
Precisely.
Okay, that sounds like a solid plan. But what if someone tries all the rest? The meds, the stretching, maybe even an injection, and it just doesn't get better. Is surgery ever on the table?
Surgery is genuinely uncommon for this. It's really reserved for those pretty severe, persistent cases where someone has tried all the non-operative options diligently for a good amount of time, and their symptoms are still significantly impacting their life.
So a last resort, basically.
Definitely a last resort. If surgery is needed, the procedure usually involves removing the inflamed bursa itself. Sometimes the surgeon might also smooth out any rough spots on the greater trochanter bone nearby that could be contributing.
How is that done? Big operation.
It can be done through a traditional open incision or sometimes using arthroscopy that's minimally invasive with small cuts and a camera.
Okay.
The good news is, regardless of the method, recovery from bursa removal surgery is typically quite fast and patients usually do well afterwards.
That's reassuring to know, even if it's rarely needed. So let's recap quickly. We've really dug into trochanteric bursitis today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just some vague hip pain. It's specific inflammation of that cushiony sac, the bursa, often thanks to friction from a tight IT band rubbing over the hip bone.
Yep, that's the core mechanism.
We know it affects active folks and also becomes more common with age, especially in women. And the cause can be repetitive strain or even a sudden hit.
Right.
And the key symptoms, pain on the outside of the hip, worse at night, and interestingly, worse when lying on either side.
Those are big clues.
And most importantly, the treatment path is overwhelmingly non-surgical, focusing on calming things down with rest and meds, maybe an injection, but really emphasizing that physical therapy and stretching to fix the IT band issue.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think understanding those mechanics, the why behind the pain, like why the IT band matters or why certain positions hurt, that's really empowering for people.
Yeah, I agree.
It changes it from this sort of mysterious ailment to something you can actually grasp, talk about clearly with your doctor, and actively work on managing yourself through those stretches and activity changes.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge really is key here.
Well said. We have just discussed trochanteric bursitis based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com. And please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.
Always the best course of action.
So considering how often these simple repetitive motions can lead to conditions like trochanteric bursitis, it makes you wonder, what other seemingly small daily habits might we be overlooking that could be impacting our long-term physical well-being? Something to think about.